is Our American Stories, and all month we're bringing you stories for National Foster Care Moment, and that's the good and the bad, the tragic and the uplifting, and often in the same story. Today we're going to spend the whole hour on extraordinary Americans serving the most forgotten among forgotten kids in foster care, and that's what we love to do here on Our American Stories, tell you the story and reveal the story of the true nature and character of this country. Its past, its present, its future, through the arts, through faith, through history, through literature, you name it. And sports, of course, because you can't tell the American story without it. And the program we're talking about today is called Wendy's Wonderful Kids, a partnership between the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Wendy's Restaurants, Wendy's customers, and donors, to sponsor specialized recruiters whose mission is to find families for kids in foster care that many deem unadoptable. And my goodness, be still my heart. Let's first hear highlights from our conversation earlier today with the foundation's president, Rita Saarinen. And then we'll talk with one of their marvelous recruiters, Sandy Certain, and then a father who worked with Sandy to adopt from foster care, and that's Tim Hess. The name Dave Thomas is familiar to many of us as the founder of Wendy's. But here's Rita telling us a little more about the man behind the third largest burger chain in this country.
His story is what drove the creation of the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption. He was adopted as an infant. His adoptive mother passed away when he was five. His father was a bit of a moving worker, so he was constantly on the road looking for another job, so they moved a lot. And Dave would have told you that his fondest memories during that time were when he spent time with his grandma Minnie. And in fact, when they lived in Indiana and had been a series of moves to get to Indiana, Dave was 16 and his father was going to move again. And he said, no, I'm going to stay in Indiana. And so at 16, he was on his own. He lived at the YWCA. He experienced what so many of our children in foster care experience, even though he had an adoptive family, right? He had his dad, he had his grandma Minnie, but that unknown of moving from place to place, of wondering, I'm kind of on my own here. Our kids who age out of foster care at 18 feel that same thing. I'm on my own. The one thing that drove Dave is he and his dad, when they did have time together, they inevitably were going out to dinner and they ate at restaurants and he loved hamburgers. And literally at like age 12, Dave Thomas said, I'm going to create the best hamburger restaurant ever. And that's not just legend. That's exactly what he said. So,
and that's remarkable. And by the way, we hear this story over and over again. Sometimes I think the scars of childhood fuel so many of the great success stories in this country. And then so many of these same people, well, they go and they pave backwards. They go and they look back and they give and they give and they give and they give. And these stories have to be told more frequently in this country to remind people of who we really are. Between 1989 and 2002, Dave Thomas appeared in over 800 different TV commercials, sharing his love of fresh burgers and cold Frosties. But like so many great Americans, Dave wasn't satisfied simply becoming rich and famous. No, Dave wanted more. Dave wanted to give back.
The first President Bush asked him to step up and really work on behalf of this sort of Adoption Works campaign, and really the rest is history. He created the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption in 1992. To do two things, to elevate the conversation about children in North America's foster care systems who've been freed for adoption. They're simply waiting for an adoptive family to step forward. So raise awareness about these children, help dispel the myths and misperceptions that surround them. They're not too old, they're not too damaged, they're not too dangerous, they're just kids waiting for a family. And then he very wisely made us a nonprofit public charity, so we're a grant-making organization. And it allowed us to reach out and really look at and create best practices, great policy, great practice on behalf of some children who frankly get lost in a very complex intermingling of systems, child welfare system, juvenile justice system, education system. All of those systems circle around children.
And so many of those systems have lots of bureaucracies. And this is where the private sector and private charity can step in like a laser and get the job done, and with the efficiency of the private sector. And the good thing about Dave and all the work he's done and all the people that are doing it is there are over 100,000 children in foster care today, ready and waiting to be adopted. And while all need loving families, some are effectively neglected, again, by our large publicly funded social safety net.
No one was focusing on this very defined target population of children, older children. And by older, we mean age 9 or older. You may not think of that. You think of a 9-year-old as a kid, right? But research shows that pretty much by the time a child turns 9 in foster care and they've been freed for adoption, the likelihood of them actually being adopted decreases significantly. And there were too many social workers or people really charged with getting them an adoptive home who would say, well, this child's just not adoptable. They've been in the system too long, or they're too old, or they're in a sibling group. And the reality is what happens is a child makes a journey through foster care. Our first goal is to get that child home if we can and safe. But if the circumstances are so profoundly unsafe that this family can't be made whole, then the court goes through a series of processes and legally frees that child for adoption. The day that child's freed, the job of the system is to find them a family. But so many of these children turn 18 in foster care and then leave the system. We failed them. We haven't found them a family. And that's what we call aging out. They age out of the system at age 18, in some states, 21. And here's the problem with that. Anyone that knows an 18 knows that this is a very complex society for someone to be on their own at age 18 when they've grown up in a system environment.
I mean, imagine that. It's devastating, actually, when you really think about it. And the numbers are devastating. 1 in 5 who age out are homeless. 1 in 2 unemployed. Fewer than 3% earn college degrees. And 1 in 4 have post-traumatic stress disorder. And why the heck not? Moved around alone like this? I know what had happened to me. Anybody I know. This is Lee Habib. This is Our American Stories. Wendy's. Foster care, adoption, all of the above. When we come back, we'll talk to some folks who've been doing something about it. I can't wait for you to meet them. I can't wait to meet them myself. More after these messages.
Yo, it's time for a coffee break.
Not quite. Let's do this, homies.
When I need a tasty treat to pick me up, that lifts me off my feet.
My go-go C to the D to the D to the F.
What I wanna do is just chill with you. This road off might be cool. Maybe I can get frosty with you. Our temperature's getting high. I think the posse's on fire. Cause we're so hot. Twisted frosty, ooh baby, do you wanna get frosty with me? Count the top.
This is Our American Stories, and we've been talking about Wendy's Wonderful Kids Adoption. And of course, we love food here on Our American Stories, and we were just talking over the break about the Frosty. One of the best things that's happened in my life the past year is I have moved from one side of town to the other, and within 1 minute, within striking distance, within walking distance, the Frosty, which, as Jesse opined, because we believe it's not a milkshake, no, and it's not ice cream. It's its own food group. And what did you call this, Jesse?
It's kind of like the Guinness of shakes. It's not really a shake. It's not really ice cream. It's in its own little category.
It's own thing. It's its own thing. And we know about the great food. We know about the great business success of Wendy's. But as is so often the case in this great country, that business success and the people behind it want to give back. And they give back in a big way. And so we were leaving off with some really grim statistics about what happens, for instance, when people age out of foster care. And my goodness, it's really tragic, actually. And a couple of people working to do something about that. Sandy Certain is a top Wendy's Wonderful Kids recruiter working for Sierra Forever Families in California. And she's here along with Tim Hess, who adopted a young boy, now an amazing young man, that others gave up on. Sandy, Tim, thanks so much for joining us.
time.
Absolutely.
You bet.
For having me.
You bet. And sorry to go on and on about the Frosty, but, you know, some things are really important, and that's one of them for us. So you're the folks who do what everybody else says is too hard. Sandy, we'll start with you this segment. We just have to start by learning a bit about you first, because we always do that here. Tell us where you're from and what led you to this kind of work.
You know, it was sort of a circuitous route. I never went out thinking this is what I'm going to do when I'm growing up. I grew up in Los Angeles. I went into the military, kind of followed military path until civil service, launching missiles from Titan missiles, and then moved to Sacramento and changed everything when I adopted a special needs daughter from the foster care system.
And that did it. That literally changed the course of your life.
Well, yeah, because it seemed like a really good idea at the time. I had three birth sons, and I had my second son has an autistic spectrum disorder, so I thought, piece of cake, I can handle this. It's totally different. You know, every kid is different, but this changed up everything and kind of opened a new path of things that can be done and things that should be done.
Yep. And you spent some time, you obviously had an education in this space. You were at least a Bachelor of Science in Psychology. You had a Master's of Science in Marriage, Family, and the Child. So this the area itself, and that is human psychology and development, was important to you. But then this life event triggered this specific passion. You worked in the field of social work, and you still do. And my dad was a superintendent of schools, and he always felt bad for so many of the government social workers because their caseloads were just gigantic, just like the high school guidance counselor, just almost an insurmountable caseload. You work differently. There are small cases, I think, is one distinctive, small caseloads, and then you work from the kid out. Talk about the distinctive nature of how you do what you do and you approach how you approach the work.
I think the Dave Thomas Foundation itself just really worked within the sort of parameters of what I learned from doing special needs advocacy and parent partner work. And then at the same time, I was getting my bachelor's degree and master's degree in raising kids and doing this work. And I think all of it is this ongoing learning experience. And the fact that we're not looking for a kid to put in the family. We're trying to help a family, a child, find the right family. So they really give us the opportunity to have a much smaller caseload. I think mine is supposed to be 20, and we'll stick with that. It could be more. It probably is more. But we really get this opportunity to get to know the child. And I think as we talk about Tim and Marlon, that was the key to helping Marlon trust enough to move forward, was the fact that I was able to develop this trusting relationship and sort of start healing some of the sort of misperceptions that get so deeply ingrained over the life in foster care and whatever trauma brought them in, plus that experience of bouncing from one home to another and people never really loving you and never really belong. So I think Marlon was 13, 12 or 13. He had pretty much decided nobody's going to do anything but me. So having that relationship, I think, is the best way to kind of do it. And then being really selective in families. You know, a lot of times people will express interest in a child, but they just don't have the skill set or personality type or lifestyle that would be the right match for that child. So hopefully we want to do it so when it's all said and done, it's lasting and perfect, like Marlon's story.
Yeah, a lot of this sounds like matchmaking, and then there's a deep, deep desire to get to know the individual. And as I indicated before, my dad spent a life in education, and he was always reaching for the, quote, kids who couldn't be educated, because he was one of those kids until he was diagnosed with chronic stuttering. And they had actually taken him into the really super slow learner section, and he ended up getting a PhD. And so for him, finding that God-given talent of a kid, no matter where they stood on the aisle, particularly special needs kids, was important. How do kids end up being labeled unadoptable? How does that happen?
In general, I mean, all the kids the children that I get referrals for, they're all identified as having one or more barriers to adoption. And Lucy defined that children with developmental disabilities or medical needs or large sibling groups, teenagers, but almost all of them come in with still trauma-reactive behaviors. I mean, they have tantrums. They do stuff sometimes because they're trying to get over what was done to them. But it's not a lifelong condition. I mean, I think what we see most and what we look forward and strive to achieve is that children heal in the context of a safe and loving home, a place where no matter what you do, you're loved. You know, I think any of us can think of a time we would have liked to ship our bio kids out for a couple of weeks here and there. But when you don't give them away, that makes all the difference.
Indeed. And when we come back over on the other side of the break, Tim, we're going to get to you and your story. And then the next segment, we'll talk about what our audience can do and learn, and what, you know, what people just listening can do in their area, in their neighborhood, this country, this state. This show is being heard all over the country. So one last question. In terms of having worked in the public and the private sector, what are the differences you find, and what can the public sector learn from the private sector as you work in conjunction with and alongside the Dave Thomas Group?
I think in general, more and more people are reaching out to foster care adoption, and as each family finds it successful and they spread the word and they tell other people or they come back and do it again. I just finalized a sibling set of four with a family that had adopted a 13-year-old teen and finalized last year. So I think it's word of mouth, it's seeing the success, it's just getting rid of all of the stereotypes and realizing that these are all viable human beings that have so much to offer the world. I think I'm just excited for you to hear Marlon's story, because he literally was that kid that was they thought needed special ed and wouldn't do anything, and he's a whole different boy from when he became Marlon Hess.
Yep, and we look forward to hearing that. And this is Lee Habib. This is Our American Stories. And for the hour, we're talking about Wendy's Wonderful Kids Adoption. And right now, we're talking with Sandy Certain. And we'll be talking with Tim Hess, who adopted a young boy, now a young man that others had given up on and society had given up on. But again, as we just learned and heard from Sandy, you know, what kids can become in a loving home with unconditional love? Well, we can't imagine, if we have unconditional love, we can't imagine life without it. And my goodness, the imagination of these people, the beautiful nature of their work, we're here to highlight that here on Our American Stories. More after these messages, these great stories. This is Our American Stories, and we're talking with Sandy Certain, who is a top Wendy's Wonderful Kids recruiter working for Sierra Forever Families in California, and she's joining us along with Tim Hess, who adopted a young boy, now an amazing young man. And Tim, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks.
Tim, tell us how your adopted son came into your life. How did this all happen?
As our two daughters started leaving the house to college and adulthood, we had a room available in our home, and it just God kind of put it on my heart that, you know, one of the things that I can do is, you know, love on kids. That's kind of been my my life's journey through teaching and coaching. And so we pursued the thought of foster parenting, and so that's what initiated the steps towards getting certified and becoming a foster parent. And in the middle of that process, somebody mentioned foster adoption, and so we said, yeah, let's go ahead and do that. And so when we got through all the certification and training process, we sat in the adoption agency's office and looked at basically a catalog with pictures and bios, and that day we saw Marlon and read his bio and his statement that he just wants a family to love him. And so that immediately just connected with us, and my wife and I were absolutely on the same page with that. And so we made some phone calls, and that's when we got introduced with Sandy and Marlon.
And Sandy, tell us about Tim's son, Marlon. What was his life story up until you came in contact with him? And then, Tim, we're going to come back to you, because, my goodness, you make the choice. Now this new life begins. But, Sandy, talk to us about Marlon.
So Marlon was an amazing big brother. He had a little sister. I think she was probably about 4 or 5 years younger than him. And he, I think, just made himself the promise that he was not going to leave her. And if we couldn't find a placement together, he had already decided he's just going to grow up and take care of her. And she had some pretty significant special needs. She had a form of albinism that makes her legally blind, and some mild delays, and it was just hard. And Marlon was going to take care of her, and I think he had also had that experience where, you know what, I can't trust anybody. So we had found, you know, you hate to separate kids, but I think the Department of Child Protective Services had decided they stood a better chance separated, and there was a family near where the Hesses lived that was visiting with his sister. So right at Christmas time, it was funny, I think everybody was out but me and the Hesses, and they called and said they were interested in him. And what I always try and do with my kids is avoid that matchmaking, arranged marriage kind of thing.
Yep.
And just said, Marlon, let's just meet these folks and hang out. And we went to, they had this big inner tube slide thing set up that defied gravity and was crazy. And the Hesses were down and Marlon was down, and I sat and drank me some coffee on the ground. But they just connected. Being athletic and sports, he excelled at. And that was really kind of a core tenet of this family. Every member of the family is active athletically. So he just took his time getting to know them. And I think another really special thing about this family is he wanted to graduate with his eighth grade class. So they met him in December, but continued just visiting him and having him over. And it's a couple hours drive from where they live to Sacramento, where Marlon was. But they just continue building a relationship. And that's when it's the best, is when all parties kind of fall in love and decide to become a family.
Yep. And without pressure, without preconceptions, it sounds like, which is just beautiful. Tim, but you're a coach. By the way, my dad was a coach, so it always felt like we had 12 adoptive kids in the family. He was a basketball coach, and that was the roster. So there were always these 12 sweaty, smelly guys around my house from the time I could remember. So in a sense, you have this capacity, but yet this is different than coaching kids and raising your own kids. What were you worried about? Were you nervous at all, Tim, you and your wife?
Wow, not nervous. Extremely peaceful throughout the whole process. We just knew it was the right it was the right thing to do. And so, that's the way I can describe it. And we were, as a family, totally on the same page and very peaceful throughout the whole process, and always were 100% certain that we were doing the right thing.
That's great. And I think that's when things work the best, is when you are at peace. And it's good to hear. I was hoping that for the folks who are out there listening who are nervous, it might mean you're not quite ready. It might not. It might. I think everyone's different. I have any number of friends who've adopted and also and worked with the foster care system. And everyone's different.
There was a time when it wasn't right, you know, between my wife and I, in terms of going forth, you know, where I would suggest and she wasn't ready. She wasn't at the right point in her life. And then when we were on the same page, then bam, it was full steam ahead. So yeah, there is a time that is right. And that's when we went full steam ahead.
That's so good. And you got to know that time, and timing is so much a part of all of life. So Tim, we've heard about the sister, and that's so important. And we heard also from Sandy during the break that you really understood the prior relationships in Marlon's life and really respected them. Talk about how you bridged that divide and made him comfortable with all the older people in his life that he cared about.
Yeah, we just felt like we needed to help Marlon maintain relationship with his family. And so we're constantly encouraging him to communicate with them and, you know, and just keeping that door open as much as possible. He's just yesterday, as a matter of fact, we got a sad message about one of his family members that had passed away rather suddenly. And so that was quite a traumatic experience for him. And we cried through that yesterday. It was a tough little stretch there. And so, you know, he and I are just going through that life process together. And we're trying to find out information about when and where services. So he can be there for that part of his family and, you know, try to comfort them during their time of need.
Well, being there with a boy when he needs you and loving him unconditionally, it's a beautiful thing. When we come back, we're going to discuss a few other things about this remarkable life, young Marlon, where we think he's headed, where the family's headed, maybe more. But certainly we want other people to hear about this story, because there are so many of them played out all around this country. This is Lee Habib. This is Our American Stories. Sandy Certain, a top Wendy's Wonderful Kids recruiter working for Sierra Forever Families in California. And Tim Hess, a man and his wife who stepped up to the plate and just loved a child unconditionally. More after these messages. This is Our American Stories, and here on this show, we tell every kind of story. This week, we did an hour on Bob Dylan, an hour on Barbra Streisand, the remarkable lives they led, the impact they had on this country through their work, and particularly their childhoods were fascinating, and they came from such different places and such different kinds of homes, one in almost the backwoods of Minnesota and the other Brooklyn, New York. One a loving family, but one that never traveled and Dylan wanted out. Barbra Streisand, the family told her she'd never amount to anything. A cruel father, and my goodness, a cruel stepfather, and a mother who basically said, be a secretary, that's all that's in you. And Streisand proved her parents wrong. But my goodness, the scars that that young lady had, and that probably in some respects still has. You can go to OurAmericanNetwork.org and listen to those great American stories, and you'll hear a lot of great music, too. And all this month, again, we've been doing stories for National Foster Care Month. We also do a month on adoption as well. And a couple of us here are Christians, secular people, Christians alike, do remarkable work in this space. We really do try and drive real life issues. And for us, the biggest life issue is adoption and foster care. There are lives that need love. And my goodness, we're hearing about, well, just this one case, and there are so many more. Sandy Certain is a top Wendy's Wonderful Kids recruiter working for Sierra Forever Families in California. And she's here along with Tim Hess, who adopted a young boy, Marlon, who is now an amazing young man, a man that others had given up on. And again, thank you both so much for all the work you do and for, you know, just taking the time to join us here right on the cusp of Memorial Day weekend.
Again, I appreciate being here.
You bet. You know, Tim, tell us a fond memory or two, something that might have surprised you about Marlon, something that Marlon might have been surprised about you, because, you know, when you start to get to know each other, it's those intimacies, it's those small moments and time share that really can surprise you.
One of the very first times we all got together as a family with our two daughters, my wife and I, and Marlon, we were eating at a restaurant, and I have a tendency of eating what everyone else in the family doesn't eat. And so Marlon was what appeared to me as being finished with his meal, and so as I would with my daughters or wife, I reached over and kind of grabbed the rest of his hamburger and stuffed it in my mouth, and he looked at me like I was crazy. And then I kind of realized, oh my goodness, I kind of stepped over the bounds a little bit. I still fondly remember that. One of the first times we were together was at a wrestling tournament, actually, and he was in a very big venue, and didn't know anything about wrestling, really, and he was able to hang out with our team and connect with those guys. But throughout our early conversations, he was like, no, I'm a basketball player. Almost everybody that met him would ask him, hey, you going to wrestle? Nope, I'm playing basketball. And so that was totally fine with me.
Yep.
You do not push our kids one way or the other. And so I was resigned to that fact. And he walked into our sign-ups that I had at school and for wrestling. So when he was a freshman, he walked into the wrestling the wrestling sign-ups, and there he was. And I was like, wow. And, you know, my eyes widened, and I was undeniably excited about the prospect of coaching my son in the sport that I appreciate so much. So that was pretty neat.
That's great. And by the way, a couple of years ago, I had the luck to interview all kinds of people in my life, both sides of the political aisle. I try to stay away from that and get at the life stories. And Secretary Rumsfeld had talked about his wrestling as a young man had prepared him for everything in life. He had been a champion wrestler, and he just talked about he was trying to almost push people into wrestling or Boy Scouts, especially young men. It's such a great outlet for their anxieties, but at the same time teaches tremendous discipline and so many other things. I'm not telling you anything you don't know about the sport you love. How is Marlon doing now? Tell us about where he is, what he's doing.
Well, I'll go back a little bit because, he came into our family, and then he comes into the school where I'm also a teacher and a coach, and he enters two sports that I'm involved with, football and wrestling at the time. And, he starts out as a freshman. He's in the wrestling room. He's one of our best freshmen, and it was quite surprising. And again, great blessing to be able to work with him so closely in different capacities. As a teacher, he was actually in one of my classes as a freshman, and then as a coach, and then as a father, and that was amazing. But to see his progression, you know, as gaining confidence and abilities and skills during those years of high school was amazing. Culminating as a senior, he actually won our Athlete of the Year award, which was just amazing.
I mean, yep.
A school of 2000 to be considered the best athlete of the in the school was amazing, you know. And academically, having some definite struggles. I mean, that was always something that, and it continues to be a struggle for him. Learning in the traditional manner is a challenge for him, and it continues to be. But he has he's overcome a lot of those challenges, and he has adapted. He learns just in a way that's different than traditional methods. So, you know, he went into our local junior college and competed with them, the wrestling team, for 2 years. And at this current juncture, he's working full-time right now and kind of trying to sort out what his next step will be. One of his gifts is working with special needs kids. He did that through high school as a teacher's aide in the special needs class, and did that for several years. And the kids loved him, the teachers loved him, and he's looking to pursue that as a career, working with autistic young people.
Well, that's fantastic. So, that's fantastic news. And Sandy, you know, not all of these stories work out so well. We're going to play you a quick clip, and then we're going to get your reaction to it to close out this hour. Here's a story that Rita Sorenen told us earlier today. And again, she's the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption president.
We knew of one young man last year who wove in and out of care. His story became public when he was diagnosed with an incurable cancer, and he was still in foster care at that point. His caseworkers got him in and out of the appropriate health care activities. His cancer went into remission. He aged out of care. He wasn't adopted, but he was finding his way. He was absolutely finding his way. In fact, he was enrolled in college. He wanted to go on and become a journalist, and he wanted to write about this story, his story, and other kids' stories. And then that cancer flared up again, and he was in the hospital. And here's who visited him in the hospital: his former caseworker and someone else from the agency that had known about him, and some of his fellow foster care alumni visited him. And at one point, he looked up at his caseworker, and it was nearing the end. He simply wasn't going to make it through this time. And he looked up at his caseworker, and he said, "Who is going to bury me?"
Oh, my goodness. And so, Sandy, what would you say to people who are listening now who might want to do what you do, and that is, you know, work in this space? It's daunting, no doubt, because there are great stories and there are tragic stories. Just about a minute to talk to the folks who are listening.
I think it's all about this paradigm shift. It's the Dave Thomas Foundation and Wendy's Wonderful Kids that all children are adoptable. And for people in both the Department of Social Services that oversee these foster youth, as well as all the other agencies, is just getting out there and not letting them age out. I mean, we had a period of time where a single worker could say, "Ah, nobody's going to want that kid." And over this 8 years that I've done this, and I have well over 50 finalizations of the hardest kids, there is somebody for everybody. And we just have to try, and we have to believe it can be done. You know, I think it's that believing. It's our belief, and it's each individual family's belief that these kids are amazing and deserving of a loving life. I mean, when I thought of Tim talking about Marlon's achievements, before, when he was just visiting the house, they had a wall of awards for both daughters, and they had a space cleared, and they said, "Those are for you. Whatever you choose to do, those are for you. We know you will succeed." So I think it really is, it's believing and getting out there and getting it done in a way that's respectful and honors the kids and understands that they are starting from a different point in life, but it doesn't mean they can't end up in a safe and happy place.
Well, it's a beautiful way to close things out. And Tim, thank you for all you've done, and we'd love to have Marlon on sometime. and continue this dialogue. And it's been a great week and a great month talking about foster care. And again, we've been talking to Sandy Certain, a top Wendy's Wonderful Kids recruiter working for Sierra Forever Families in California, and Tim Hess, who adopted a young boy, now a young man, Marlon. This is Lee Habib. This is Our American Stories. Go to OurAmericanNetwork.org to capture all of our work and storytelling.